biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Well, welcome back once again to another Transforming Conversation for another week. And thank you, Pastor Rock, for being here. And I want to throw a topic at you that doesn't per se have a scripture at the top, but I'm sure it will. It seems that in our society, in our culture, that our society is very careful to protect Muslims, to protect these other type of religious belief systems. But when it comes to Christianity, it seems like there is no problem through the media, through secular, through everybody else, to really jump on the bandwagon and almost crucify an individual for their belief in Jesus as being a Christian, as being a follower, disciple of Christ.
And there's an incredible double standard.
Yeah, and it's just, I know we can't say, oh, it's not fair because we weren't promised fair in this world. But I would love to hear your take on this and how we as believers can approach this seemingly unfair.
Yeah. Well, like I say, there is a double standard. If somebody speaks of their faith in Jesus in the media in a public forum, there quickly is a firestorm of objection saying, well, you should keep your personal religious beliefs out of this forum. You're trying to jam your thinking and your belief system down my throat.
Right,
if an atheist espouses their belief system, there's not a whimper.
Nothing. Right.
If a Muslim espouses theirs, not only is there not a backlash, but, oh, we need to show how tolerant we are by giving them this forum.
Right, and they almost applaud it.
If a Hindu, oh, we've got to allow them to speak. We can't. The reality is everybody has a worldview. And in the United States, it's acceptable for anybody and everybody to talk about their worldview except Christians.
That's the way it seems, exactly.
Oh, yeah. So talk shows that promote secularism, relativism, atheism, false tolerance. They say whatever they want to say. Outlandish things with not a whimper of objection.
Right. Right.
But somebody says, well, I look to Jesus. Oh, you know, and right, they go off the charts. You know, recently our vice president said that, you know, he talks to Jesus, Jesus talks to him. Well, oh my Lord, that was open season on his sanity. People suggesting he's unfit for office and he's insane because he thinks Jesus talks to him. Well, there are millions of insane people, if that's the criteria.
Right.
Because God speaks to his people and they speak to him.
Amen.
So I think the question you're asking, why? Why is it like this? Why is there such a double standard? And my response to that is, it's predictable and it affirms the Word of God.
Hmm. Right.
Because Jesus said, the world has hated me, and they will hate you.
That's right. That's right.
Because we are in him and he is in us. So if we are the body of Christ and many in the world hate Jesus, they're going to hate his body. They're going to hate the church. It really isn't about our message. It's about who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us.
Right.
And the world intuitively sees Jesus as enemy.
You wonder why. I mean,
well, because he identifies their evil. He calls it evil. He yeah. says there is only one remedy. I am that remedy. And it insults the pride of fallen humanity, the self-sufficiency and arrogance of fallen humanity. Fallen humanity in their pride and arrogance do not want to say, I'm broken, I'm a mess, I can't fix myself, and there's only one person who can fix me.
Right.
That's why Jesus' message was met with disdain and rejection and hatred and ultimately murder. By many, with rejoicing, but by the majority, with hatred and vilification and rejection. Because Jesus reminds broken humanity that they're broken, and they want to believe the fantasy that they're all that and a bag of chips.
Right.
So, if the world hates Jesus, it stands to reason they're going to hate the people that Jesus dwells in and the people in who dwell in Jesus. So, we are hated by extension. It's our identification with Jesus that marks us for hatred and vilification. And just as the hatred of Jesus is unfair and unjust and unfounded, so is the hatred of his people. Now, that being said, in fairness, sometimes Christians bring heat upon themselves by acting in ways that are inconsistent with our message, doing things that are inconsistent with who Jesus is in us, or just being downright rude and insensitive.
Right.
Or arrogant. And in those cases, it's bogus to say, well, I'm being persecuted for righteousness, when actually you may be persecuted because you're being a jerk. So, right. So in fairness, not every Christian that's persecuted is persecuted for the cause of Christ. Sometimes they're getting the due recompense for their own rudeness and stupidity. But that's only a small fraction. It doesn't explain the overwhelming antagonism towards those who profess Jesus. Their identification with Jesus is the reason why that exists. The flip side of the coin is that Satan never opposes himself. He understands
right.
that a house divided against itself will not stand. Remember, those who hated Jesus accused him of casting out demons and having the power to do so because he was the prince of the demons. Beelzebub, they called him, which is another name for Lucifer or Satan. Of course, the demons obey him. He's their commander in chief.
Right.
So they basically accused Jesus of being the devil. Jesus' retort was, a house divided against itself will not stand.
Right.
Why would the devil cast out his own soldiers doing his work?
Right.
They,
that makes sense.
Now, not only does Jesus understand that, the devil understands that. The devil isn't going to attack his own workforce.
Right.
He isn't going to engage in friendly fire against his own army. So, why aren't Muslims criticized like this? Because Islam is a counterfeit of the kingdom of God with a counterfeit Messiah
right.
and a counterfeit scripture and counterfeit doctrines and a counterfeit agenda. It stems from ancient idolatry among the Arab people that is demonic in its roots. It is one of Satan's strategies to mislead millions and millions of people and to lead them away from Jesus and the truth.
Right.
Satan isn't going to seek to shoot that down. Atheism is the work of the devil. He isn't going to seek to shoot that down.
Right.
Hinduism, with its thousands of deities and its hideous caste system, religious-based prejudice,
right,
is nevertheless above criticism. Why? Because it's a counterfeit, false spiritual system, what Scripture calls doctrines of demons, that lead men away from the true God and the truth of the gospel. So Satan isn't going to attack some of his most successful strategies. He's going to promote their acceptance.
That's right. That's right.
So, of course, Hinduism, atheism, Islam, secularism, moral relativism, of course those, agnosticism, of course those things are going to get free pass where Christians get vilified.
Right.
Because Satan will not attack his own efforts. He'll strengthen them and endorse them.
Right.
Because in so doing, he deepens the deception.
Right.
So, if the attacks against the church occur because Satan hates Jesus and the cause of Christ, and those who haven't had their eyes opened by Jesus hate Jesus and the cause of Christ, it stands to reason Christians will be singled out for vilification.
That's right. That's right.
And rather than seeing it as, oh, poor us, we should see it as a clear indicator that we have chosen correctly. We have taken a stand with Jesus, who will be hated, vilified, and opposed. And we have taken a stand against the one who hates and vilifies and opposes Jesus and his people and endorses his counterfeits that are meant to lead people away from Jesus. And remember, Satan ultimately controls the thinking of unregenerate humanity.
Right.
You know, people who reject all religion in the name of intellectual enlightenment, the irony is they are absolutely and totally controlled.
Puppets.
By a spiritual being. Yeah. It's just the wrong one.
Right, and they don't even realize it.
Jesus said the God of this world has blinded them.
Right.
And they run around telling us they're the only ones that see clearly. When Jesus said they're the ones that can't see at all.
Right.
Because Satan has blinded them.
Right.
And you see evidence of that blindness when a popular women's talk show vilifies Christians but honors Muslims. And the irony is, if America would ever have a Muslim majority population, which is Muslim strategy all around the world, where Islam cannot conquer with the sword, they conquer by way of birth. So you have large immigrant populations that have moved into Western European nations like the Netherlands, where the indigenous population isn't replenishing itself because of abortion. They immigrate to those nations and have as many children as possible. we're only about 10 to 12 years removed from the place where the Netherlands, when it's time for the people to go to the polls, will be Muslim majority.
Wow.
When it's Muslim majority, they will introduce legislation for Sharia law, the imposition of the Quran upon that culture, and they'll have the votes.
Right.
And here's the irony. When they get to that place, all the enlightened secular women who are so vocal about protecting and honoring Islam will either have to wear burqas, have their husbands totally control them, keep their mouth shut, or they'll be killed in honor killings, stoned in public, and cast out.
Wow.
They will not be sitting in revealing outfits.
Right.
In television studios, spewing their garbage. They'll either have to obey Sharia law or they'll be executed.
Scary.
They are literally honoring forces that if those forces would ever accomplish their ultimate goals, would execute them.
That's right.
You say, why would anybody do that? That's what blind people do.
That's right. That's right. And that's what they tolerate.
Right. So the vilification of Christianity says we're the right people and we've made the right choice.
Now, part of me, when I hear some of the things like this, want to defend the gospel.
We should be ready to make defense for the gospel. Paul said that.
Right.
Yeah. And we should lovingly but firmly say we reject that value system. We reject that line of thinking. We reject that politic because we believe in one God. We believe he has revealed himself in Christ. We believe Christ verified his claims by his resurrection, and that he verified the Bible as the Word of God, both looking past in the backward and looking forward. And because of all of those things, we are of a contrary opinion, and we would encourage you to consider that contrary opinion. We should always be ready to make defense, but you have to also understand many people do not want to hear a defense. Because they know intuitively,
yeah,
that if they acknowledge the authority of Christ, they will have to give up the reins of their life.
Yep.
The sad irony is, and give them to somebody far better qualified.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when Josh McDowell, who appears extensively on college campuses doing apologetics, the defense of the gospel, he was at one college campus, the same professor kept objecting, and Josh kept answering him. But he finally said, if I could answer your every intellectual objection, would you follow Jesus? And he said, no. And he said, why? He said, because I'd have to change my life. There's the crux of the matter.
Yep. The real come out.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I would say, defend the gospel to those who are actually seeking. Defend it to those who don't want it to be true, but only until you see that's the case. And in that case, it's better to just walk away and shake the dust off your feet because you're wasting your time.
Right. All in love.
Oh, yeah, in love. But and even when you walk away and shake the dust off your feet, it's with sadness.
Yeah, yeah.
It should never be with a sense of triumphalism.
Right.
There but for the grace of God.
Amen. Yeah. I heard a quote that said, nobody ever came to Christ by losing the argument. I don't know how true that is, but...
Let's say that again.
They never met anybody come to Christ by losing the argument. of the gospel. In other words, just like you were saying with Josh McDowell, if I can prove...
If I lose the argument for Christ, then somebody won't come to Jesus? Is that what it's saying?
If I can prove Christ, they still won't come, just like Josh
McDowell.
Oh, yeah.
A man persuaded against his will is of the same persuasion still.
Yeah.
That's the old adage, and it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you can persuade somebody, but if they don't want to be persuaded, then go work. It's all very predictable, and I think if Christians recognize that, then they don't waste their energies in being offended,
worrying, consumed with that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, can it? Will it? Could it lead to persecution? Sure. Will it? One day.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it will.
Right.
But God is with us.
So take heart. We're on the right track.
Take it as verification.
Amen.
Don't doubt yourself.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.